You're listening to Jason Greger Show podcast brought to you by Lakewood Chev. 20% off MSRP cash credit on select vehicles, over 4,500 on the Sonic, over 12,500 on the Tahoe. You won't believe what you can say. Stop in, check it out right now at Lakewood Chev. Former Canadian Olympian, he's now analyst for Talking Sprinting. Anson Henry joins us. Anson, welcome to the program. As somebody who's been on the track side by side with some of the best sprinters in the world, you definitely know a thing or two about it. And right now, young Andre DeGrasse has, you know what, he hasn't let up at all since the Olympics. And if anything, he's getting better. Where have you seen the improvements in his stride or just in his overall race habits?
You know what, I think that you can just see Andre becoming more of a more comfortable with being an icon. I think he's becoming more used to having all the eyes on him, and I wouldn't say that it interfered with his performance before, but I think that when you see Andre on camera now, when you see him walking around the track or on the street and amongst fans, I mean, he's a lot more comfortable in that quote-unquote superstar status. Well, you don't have to quote-unquote it. Superstar status. Like, he's known. Like, a lot of people like him and, follow him. So I think he's become a lot more comfortable in that. But as far as technically, I mean, I played a lot on his arm last year. I put a video out about the Andre arm. He used to really flail it out really straight. And he'd been doing it for a really long time as a younger kid. And I've noticed that he corrected that now. And he does seem really to be a little bit more efficient with the way he's running right now with that corrected. But we were kind of joking the other day on whether or not it's actually corrected or whether or not he just hasn't really ran his hardest yet. So at the World Championships, when he actually has to run, we'll see if it's really corrected or not, or if it has to, if he has to break out the Andre arm to make sure he gets to the line first.
Do you think he needs to defeat Usain Bolt before his retirement for people to consider him close to Bolt, or will it really be what he does in the next 8 years, regardless of Bolt's on the track?
Well, I think personally for him, he wants to feel the satisfaction of beating Bolt, not only because it's Bolt, but I mean, he wants to be world champion, and you don't want to feel like something's given to you. And I feel like with him beating Bolt, he'll at least feel like, he was the one person that got Bolt at a championship. So I think that for him, that'll be good personally. Overall, looking at the situation, I mean, Bolt ran 1958 and he ran 1919. Bolt's not in that type of shape right now. Andre's not in that type of shape right now. So if Andre was to have raced Bolt when he was at his fastest, I mean, with the way Andre is right now, he would have never beat him. So, I mean, he's catching Bolt right now in a vulnerable state. I mean, either way, Bolt is still considered the fastest man in the world and the guy to beat right now. So I'm not discrediting Andre if he beats him. I mean, that's still a really big win. But we do have to give just due to Bolt and what he was and what he has done. So, I mean, I think Andre understands that as well. But either way, Bolt is the man. He wants to beat the man, and he doesn't want it just laid in his lap for him. He wants to take the championship.
Now, you look at him right now, he's becoming really good at the 200 as well as the 100. As a guy who was a sprinter and did both, obviously the turn is the major difference, but is there any other training techniques that you do? Does doing one hinder the other, or is training for both help the other one?
No, training for both is actually really good. They both complement each other really, really well. To run a good 100, you have to maintain your speed well. The 200 helps with that. And to be good in the 200, you have to have good speed, and the 100 helps with that. So they definitely complement each other. I think one of the strengths Andre has that a lot of sprinters don't have at his height is that he maintains the speed really well. Because in general, when you sprint, no human can sprint for longer than 60 meters. Like, after that, it's all deceleration. So in the 100 meters, you have 40 meters left to maintain your speed. And in the 200 meters, you have 140 meters left. My math took me a while with that math there, huh? You have 140 meters left to maintain your speed. So it's all just speed maintenance when it comes to that. So I think that with him, he's shown to have good speed maintenance, and it helps him within his 100. But you really see it in the 200, because that last 140, I mean, he doesn't really slow down much. And you see Bolt with that type of that type of talent as well.
Bolt, because of his height, Anson, and his stride, is it possible, do you believe, for Andre DeGrasse at his size to potentially break his 100 to 200 meter records?
That's a really tough question. I mean, I don't like to put limits on anybody, and I know that the best athletes in the world don't put limits on themselves at all. But I think that with Bolt's height, I mean, it made things a lot easier for him because, okay, for example, I just broke down how you don't have that much, no one really can run for longer than 60 meters, and then they only have a small amount, like 40 meters, to decelerate. But with Bolt, because he's so tall, basically where he is, where other people are at 60 meters, I mean, his acceleration doesn't end to like 75 meters maybe. So really, like, he doesn't have to maintain his speed for that long. So that's an advantage that you have as a taller sprinter. For Andre to run the same time as Bolt, I mean, it would be an even bigger feat for him to touch those type of times with a body frame like him. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it would be a lot more difficult because he is shorter and the demands on his body would be, I mean, immense.
Anson Henry joins us, Canadian Olympian, working for CBC now, talking track. As you watch the sprinters and maybe that next generation, obviously we know that Usain Bolt will not be around at the next Olympics, and the World Championships are obviously close. Who do you feel is going to be Andre DeGrasse's biggest foe, biggest rival the next 4 to 5 years?
Well, I'd have to say the first name that would pop right into my head would be, I'd say Johan Blake right off the bat, just because, I mean, he's a little younger than Bolt, but they train together, and he's one of the guys that have ran really fast times that is still going to be around in 2020. So I'd have to say Johan Blake in Jamaica. He's saying Bolt's training partner. As well, I'd have to say, there's a new up-and-comer named Christian Coleman that just, he's the number one in the USA this year, and he actually, he's actually shown that he's going to be very promising in the future. We'll see him at the World Championships running for the USA. And also another guy that came out with at the same time as Andre, Trayvon Bromell. He had some injuries in the past, but he'd shown to have a lot of talent and capabilities of running fast. So that's another American sprinter that he'd have to worry about. But the names that stick out would probably be those guys. They're young, they're running fast, they're only going to get faster, and they're hungry. I mean, Andre's in a position now where he's had so much success that he's become the hunted.
Yeah.
And Bolt's still there, so he still has that hunger. When Bolt's gone, I mean, he's going to be the one kind of at the, you know, top of the hill trying to, you know, shake people off. But the guys at the bottom, not at the bottom, but the guys up and coming are usually a lot hungrier. So, I mean, they're going to be coming for that throne, man. So he's going to have his hands full.
I would guess, though, because he will not have an Olympic gold when he goes to the next Olympics, his hunger will have to be the same. Because when you look at the great sprinters of all time, if you don't have you're going to win all the world championships. If you don't have an Olympic gold medal, you're rarely even in the conversation.
It's true. And, he has that. I mean, he also still has the Canadian records chase after the Donovan, Bailey, and Bruni Cerné still have. He's always going to have that, well, he's not Bolt stigma or chip on his shoulder to have to kind of battle with.
Yeah.
So, if you know Andre and you talk to him, like, and if you see him on the track, winning is a really big deal to him. I mean, he seems pretty laid back, but, winning is something that he really wants and really feels like he should be doing. And I mean, that's why there is somewhat of an urgency this year in him, because he really wants to be world champion and beat Bolt, not just have it handed to him. Like, he really wants to beat Bolt. And he was actually kind of upset that Bolt wasn't running the 200 meters as well at Worlds. Bolt's just going to be running 100. So he was a little upset about that. But he definitely is a driven young man, man. I mean, as laid back as he seems, like, there's a lot of fire and intensity there as far as becoming the best and being one of the best ever.
Anson, what was the fastest you ever ran?
I ran 10:04 windy. I ran a 10:12.
Okay.
Legal.
Now,
yeah.
And like 10:04 is ridiculous fast. But when you look back, to go from 10:04 to 9:09 and then to 9:08, like, what has to change for you? Like, do you feel, you know what, I probably was capable of maybe going 9.5 or 9.9, and I don't know if that was at max, but what do you feel when you look back and we're right on that track? What's the difference? Because it's such a small, short time, but then it looks so much bigger on TV when you see the gap.
It's funny, like when you're running that fast, like 10.0 to 9.8 is only 0.2 of a second. But when you're running that fast, you're covering more ground. So at that range, 0.2 is about 2 meters, which is an ass whooping. Like it's a decent amount.
Yeah.
It's a decent distance.
Yes.
But it's not really that much time. But it's just a bunch of small things, man. Like in a race, most sprinters are around 44 to 48 strides, not including Bolt. He's like 40 strides, 41 strides, but between 44 to 48 strides, if you add like half an inch or an inch, say you add an inch to your stride,
okay,
for a race, 44 strides, that's like, I don't know, 3 or 4 feet. I mean,
yep.
It's up there. So it's such little things, whether you increase your turnover, gain a little bit of strength to increase your stride, whether you, and a lot of times it's just luck, man. Like just being able to avoid injury for an entire season so you can keep building your speed for an extended period of time to be able to get that fast. I mean, it really is luck, because every day sprinters, we're not doing what our bodies are meant to do. When you put yourself through that, it's not, our bodies aren't meant to do that. So it's a constant balancing act between being healthy or being fast. And a lot of times there's some really talented sprinters that get injured and they can't get to their full potential. So some luck comes into it too, man. So, those 8 finalists you see at a world championships or an Olympics, I mean, those guys are, they're special individuals, and they had a lot of, not only talent, but there was some luck in there too.
Oh, for sure. I think in any sport, staying healthy sometimes just can be your DNA makeup. And some people, for whatever reason, are more susceptible to injuries and some aren't. Now, so is it just strength training that allow you to extend a half an inch potentially to your stride? Or is it a stride coach that helps it? Like, how does the strength, is just because the force from you coming off the ground is going to allow you to be in the air longer?
Well, I mean, it's a good question. Every sprinter is different. So, I mean, some guys are naturally more elastic, so they may need a bit more, they may need a bit more power. Some guys are naturally powerful, so they need to become more elastic. So some guys may need plyos. Some guys may need flexibility. Some guys may need, are naturally not as flexible, so they may need more treatment. Every sprinter is different. So, I mean, that's where a talented coach comes into play, because they have to be able to take in a sprinter's strengths and, you know, what they need, and try and hone the skills that they do need into performances, to their best performances somehow. So, every sprinter is different. And, I mean, it's up to the coach to adapt to the sprinter that they're coaching and, provide what they need. But it can range from all those things that I just named off.
And, you know, Canada, with Andre DeGrasse, like in any sport, we're seeing, you know, in basketball, we've got some young talent. In soccer, obviously, Andre DeGrasse. And we've had success before, of course, with Donovan Bailey and Bruni Cern, as you mentioned. But you bring in a guy like Andre DeGrasse, and how much of a bonus that is for young kids, because when they see a Canadian sprinter having success, it just magically makes some more kids who are decent runners say, well, geez, maybe I should look into this more.
You know what? That's such a big thing as far as up-and-coming sprinters, because, to be honest, when I was younger, I was a basketball player. I didn't really run track. It was 12th grade when I watched the Olympics. Donovan won the Olympics, and I was like, hey, you know what? I think I want to try this track stuff out. I mean, it looks pretty cool. Like, look at this guy. And, I mean, that's how I ended up getting to where I was in track and field, just from that budding in my mind that, you know, I wanted to have that feeling and have that success on the track. So, I mean, I think it's pretty cool for a lot of the younger kids coming up to be able to, you know, live through this whole experience with Andre as he's coming up, especially with social media and, you know, having so much access and really, you know, really seeing his journey. I mean, it's gonna do a lot for these young kids coming up, because they're really seeing all the behind the scenes, seeing, you know, him traveling the world and what he came from to what he is now. And it's, you know, they're really feeling that it's possible for them to do something like this, because Andre wasn't even supposed to be in it. If you saw Andre, like, when he was originally, I mean, before he started running, he wasn't expected to be one of the fastest men in the world. And to see what he did do and what he has become, like, I mean, that's inspirational for a lot of kids, man. And I think he's doing a lot of good in that way.
And some great stuff, man. I really appreciate you giving some insight into sprinting. We'll be watching closely as Andre DeGrasse is keeping sprinting, I think, on a lot of people's eyes year-round now, which is great.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's gonna be an exciting show in London, man. I know everyone's looking forward to it, but I'm really looking forward to it too, man.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Cool, no problem.